Play the jingle.
Auf geht's.
Are you ready?
Willkommen.
Here is
Die Auszeit, der Bamberg Baskets Podcast.
Here we go.
Herzlich willkommen hier vom Schiff, hätte ich schon fast gesagt, denn neben David Swisser,
hallo,
haben wir heute die Captains an Bord, Carsten Tadda.
Hallo, aber
und
der ehemalige.
Ja, und den anderen Kapitän, den musst du vorstellen.
E.B. Watson ist in the house.
Hello. Good to be here.
Salut.
Ja, wir hatten die Woche ja eine Umfrage gestartet, wen ihr hier haben wollt. Da war eindeutig das Votum für E.B. Watson, deswegen ist er hier. Was uns natürlich ein bisschen weniger in die Karten spielt, ist, dass ihr den Podcast gerne auf Deutsch hättet. Wir werden versuchen, so viel wie es geht auf Deutsch zu sprechen und so viel wie es geht zu übersetzen. Ja, Jungs, dann startet mal rein. Feuer frei. Du hast ja deinen Feuer Zettel frei. Wieder dabei, David. Also los, komm.
Ja, der Zettel ist tatsächlich neu. Vorher war es ja mein Telefon. Da habe ich aber Kritik bekommen vom Carsten Tadda. Also habe ich mir heute den schlauen Zettel lieber mitgebracht.
Ja, aber dass du überhaupt einen Zettel brauchst, das geht doch alles frei. Ja,
das geht natürlich Schnauze. Auch alles frei. Aber ich habe natürlich direkt auch eine wichtige Frage für ihn. Ibi,
let's watch out now.
Start the podcast with the most important question. How much do you miss Katie in training and every day?
Ooh. You know, KT was one of my least favorite teammates I've ever played with.
Nah. Appreciate that.
Honestly, I do miss playing with KT. He's a guy who is a connector, like bring everybody together. When you play with him on the court, he's just like, he makes the game easy for everyone else. So playing with KT was great. Great locker room dude, just a funny dude. So he kept the vibes good. So we miss him. I'm trying to fill in for him a little bit right now.
I mean, that's why I'm like coming by once a while. Watch the practice, still staying in touch with you guys. Yeah, see what you guys doing. How is your role now? How does your role change now as a captain?
Just more responsibility. Just, you know, coach kind of leans on me to make sure the guys are on the same page and just try to keep everything smooth and make sure we're doing all the things we need to do to win games. So last year was more of a come in and learn and try to like figure out like the system, and now it's try to spread the knowledge and everything that I know.
Müssen wir mal übersetzen?
Bisschen? Mach mal.
Ja, gerne, Carsten, bitte.
Also ich übersetze jetzt nicht die erste Frage, weil die ging ja über mich. Die darfst du David übersetzen, bitte.
Ja, ich glaube also...
Was hast du gestellt eigentlich für eine Frage erstmal?
Die Frage, die ich gestellt habe, war, ob er dich vermisst. Das hat er natürlich bejaht. Wie kann er auch nicht? Und meinte, dass es natürlich mit dir auch immer leicht war zu spielen, weil du das Spiel einfacher gemacht hast, glaube ich, für deine Teammates. War, glaube ich, auch einfach Teil deiner Rolle, das, was der Trainer möchte, so ein bisschen weiterzugeben, das ist etwas, das war dann deine Anschlussfrage, wie sich seine Rolle ein bisschen verändert hat, was er jetzt auch mit übernehmen möchte, weil Jahr 1 für ihn einfach bedeutet hat, erstmal ankommen und lernen und jetzt eben das Wissen, was er hat, ja, also das, was der Coach möchte, an seine neuen Mitspieler weiterzugeben. War das richtig so, Herr Tadda?
Ja. Ah, sehr schön. Kann man so zählen lassen. And next question. Is it easier for you now to like getting coaches like concept besides like the last season? You came in as a new guy, basically it was for me also new getting the concept for coach. Is it for you easier now? And do you think overall is it easier for the team now when you have like 13 guys already playing for coach to get what he wants to have in the game?
Yeah, I definitely think it's easier. a lot of like the things are kind of like second nature to me now. So, you know, the defensive principles and, you know, the spacing on offense and what coach wants is like, it's like I've done it for a whole year straight and now it's like, you know, all that I think about. So it kind of just like comes to me naturally on the court now instead of having to actually, you know, think about what to do. So I think it's a huge advantage just coming back to the same system and knowing exactly what the coach wants and, you know, how to execute it.
Yeah. And is it also that it's this year clicking better or easier than last season also for your teammates? Like also the question is, what's the biggest difference from last year to this year?
Yeah, I think the guys really have bought in and really like want to execute what we're trying to do. And that's helped speed up the process of learning and figuring out, you know, the places we're supposed to be, the spots we're supposed to be in. So, yeah, I think just the willingness to really, you know, try to execute everything that we want to get done is kind of one of the biggest differences.
So you also think that you like further ahead already what the development of the team is than to the last season?
Yeah, I think so. I think last season we had great chemistry off the court, but on the court we couldn't really figure it out. And this year, I think we have a little bit more chemistry on the court and are able to hold each other accountable when we're not doing the right things. And that's kind of led to just like a little bit quicker of a process of figuring out what we need to do.
So it also means we have smarter guys this year than maybe last season?
Yeah, especially because we lost number 9 from last year.
Yeah, I think he was not the smartest. That's right.
He was holding us back.
Almost never played.
Side. Yeah.
He was only a funny dude.
Yeah, I was a funny dude. Connector. yeah.
Maybe a translator.
Yeah, translate mal.
Ja, mach mal.
Na du?
Du kannst eine 20 Fragen stellen, dann muss ich alles übersetzen.
Du hast doch alles aufgeschrieben gerade.
Ich hab gar nichts hier. Ich habe nur ein Geld dabei. Kann ich gleich mal was zahlen hier?
Nein, ich habe jetzt Ibi gerade gefragt, ob es für ihn jetzt leichter gefallen ist, das Konzept von Coach aufzunehmen. Meinte er, ja, na klar, ist es einfach und das kann ich ja nur bestätigen, dass es in meinem zweiten Jahr leichter ist, die Sachen, die Coach verlangt, aufzunehmen. Und meine Anschlussfrage war dann, ob auch das Team das alles schneller aufnimmt, ob sie auch weiter sind, was die Entwicklung angeht zum letzten Jahr. Der gemeint, ja, deutlich, die Jungs sind 100% committed, die Sachen aufzunehmen und umzusetzen. Und deswegen hat er schon das Gefühl, dass sie von der Entwicklung her definitiv weiter sind, als dass wir das letztes Jahr waren.
Und seitdem der Neuner weg ist, geht es auch einfacher, hat
er gesagt. Ja, das wollte ich jetzt nicht übersetzen.
Did this also play a role for you to come back, because you like saw the vision of the whole concept from coach?
Yeah, 100%.
You extended your contract pretty early, mm-hmm. especially for someone that is on your position 2-3 and is scoring double digit points. I think you would have a market. So to you to commit so early is a sign that you believe in the system, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think just, you know, early in the season I saw that coach and Arne and Steph and everybody in the organization kind of like really had a focus to bring the best out of me. And I think that's something that's not that easy to find in different situations. So I just really liked the opportunity that I was given and the fact that the coaches really had a good plan for helping me grow as a player and as a person. So it was kind of easy for me to decide to come back, just because like knowing that you can't find that everywhere. And it's kind of something special, like you kind of want to hold on to it for another year.
And do you feel a difference already? I mean, how many games did we play now? 5? It's because always a lot of people say, if we just could get this player back to play another season in the BBL, they would get a totally different feel for the whole game. Do you notice that? Or because, I mean, as I said, you got your points last season also. You got good games. But does it feel different now?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of small things that I noticed that are different. Like, I can think back to games from last season where, you know, maybe I wasn't able to come off of a pin down clean, or I wasn't able to get through screens when I'm playing defense. And just some of the small things that I was taught throughout the year last year are just second nature to me at this point. And so I've kind of noticed that they're helping me just make the game smoother throughout the season. So it's only been a few games, you know, to start the season, but I definitely noticed that, you know, I'm able to execute things, you know, at a higher level and smoother than I was last year.
Do you think that your difference in role helps with that, or?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the more freedom you have, it's a little bit easier as a player to be free on the court and just to really like play your game and have success. But, you know, a lot of that is just your own mental, you know, and just understanding what's going on the court and understanding what you need to do. So, I think it was, definitely a combination of the role and just, you know, some familiarity.
Yeah, because I just had the thought that maybe in your head, you know, I'm the leader of the team now, or one of the leaders. Maybe you go into the games with like a, how do you say it in English, like a larger chest.
Yeah.
You know? You can say, okay, I'm going to take that shot because I'm the guy.
Mm-hmm. More proud.
Yeah, does it make a difference?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely more confidence.
Basketball is a head game.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I got more confidence just knowing I'm the leader, but also just, you know, trying to shoulder the pressure and try to set the tone for the team early in the game, let them know, you know, this is how we need to come out and play. So something I'm still growing at, still trying to get better at. But I think definitely the title of being the captain and having the guys respect and the team's respect, it definitely gives you a bigger chest when you step out there.
Cool.
So ich würde jetzt mal sagen, now we learned a little bit about your game and why you came back, but now let's go a little bit inside. I think what the people are interested, was die Leute auf jeden Fall interessiert. Who's the most vocal guy in our team here, like in the locker room or in timeouts or in halftime? Like, who's the guy is like the guy that talks the most?
Coach.
When he's not in there.
Yeah. If it's a situation where it's just us, you know, in the locker room having fun, talking, I'd say DeMarcus is one of the loudest guys. He's, you know, at first, when he first got here, he was pretty quiet, like really chill dude, trying to kind of analyzing everybody, seeing what everybody was about. But now he's definitely the life of the party in the locker room. Him and Kobe are super turned up. I'd say in a game situation, I've tried to take on that role of being the guy who's the most vocal, you know, at halftime. But guys like Patrick Heckman, who know a lot about the game, he definitely helps a lot. And Austin Crowley as well. He's super vocal. So yeah, I think we're kind of sharing the whole burden of being the guy who talks the most. But it's a role I've tried to take on for sure.
Okay. Also ich hatte ihn gefragt, wer jetzt so der Lauteste ist in der Kabine, wenn Coach nicht dabei ist, ob es Auszeit ist oder Halbzeit oder wie auch immer, und hat gemeint, dass es jetzt momentan DeMarcus Demonia ist, der aber am Anfang wohl relativ ruhig war, weil er sich erstmal die ganze Situation angucken musste, die Lage checken, wie das hier abläuft. Aber er sagt, DeMarcus und Kobe sind auf jeden Fall so die lautesten, aber wenn es dann in eine Spielsituation geht, ist er schon derjenige, der es übernehmen möchte, mit Erfahrung auch von Patrick Heckmann zusammen und Austin Crawley auch dabei. Also es sind so die Hauptpersonen, die Aktionen in der Kabine dann übernehmen. Who actually took over my seat in the bus? Für alle, die es nicht wussten, in der Busfahrten, Auswärtsfahrten, hat mir immer die letzte Reihe gehört.
Die ganze Reihe? Ältest,
ja, ich hatte die komplette letzte Reihe. Als Ältester und
the whole
Kapitän.
Row.
Yeah, so who took over the last row in the bus?
The best seat in the house? I took over the KT spot where you pull out the mattress, lay it down. So a long road trip, you kind of laying down, you know, relax on the body a little bit. I think you should have to put some money in the thing because you shouldn't even ask that question. Like, that's obvious right there. I took the spot.
No, that's not a phrase for you can take my money. I mean, people want to know that. They're interested in stuff like this. I have also another question in my pocket. It's called, what people probably don't know, you have a son.
Yeah.
Is he actually visiting us this season?
Yeah, we're working on the details. So what I didn't know is a baby has to have a passport to come to Europe. So I thought it was kind of like, you know, they don't need a seat on the plane, but they actually need their passport. So we're getting his passport done now. So that's the plan, to have him out here as soon as possible.
How is he doing? How old is he actually now?
He's a year and 9 months. He's going to be 2 soon. So he's getting big. He's crazy, like just full of energy, you know, smiling all the time, just running around the house, jumping on everything, playing with the basketball. I got the basketball, like I'm trying to make that his favorite toy. So, yeah, nah, he's doing great, happy and healthy, so, yeah.
Also die Frage, die ich eben gestellt habe, weil ich wusste, ist ja, er hat einen Sohn, der ist jetzt fast 2 Jahre alt, und hat ihn gefragt, ob er uns auch mal dieses Jahr in Deutschland besucht, in Bamberg, und hat gesagt, sie sind dabei dran zu arbeiten. Die wussten in erster Linie nicht, dass ein Baby auch ein Passport, einen Ausweis braucht, um nach Europa zu kommen. Den besorgen sie sich gerade, und dann freut er sich drauf, dass er auch mal einen Besuch von seinem Sohn bekommt.
Do you guys want to talk about the game we had on
sure,
the weekend?
Sure. Yeah. How was the feeling beating NBC last Sunday?
Oh man, it felt good. It was, you know, obviously from last year's experience, that game that we played in the championship, we just didn't play with the energy, the focus that we needed. And, you know, they had home court advantage playing in that gym. You know, it just felt good to come back in there and kind of put our footprint down, because, yeah, that game was a heartbreaker for us last year. So it felt good to get a little bit of revenge.
It kicked the ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hell to ass.
Yeah, BTA. It was definitely a good win. We were happy about the score. So scoring 100 points in there, it felt good.
Was Coach satisfied, or was he still saying, okay, there's a lot of stuff to improve?
Always on that improvement train. I think, you know, we're never complacent, and he's the leader of that, making sure we stay focused on, you know, growing for the next game. But, you know, he did come in there a little bit, you know, shoulders a little bit lower, a little bit more chill. So I think he was happy about the win.
what was different on Saturday in comparison to the last two games where you, as a team, had some difficulties? I mean, playing in Munich is always hard, but in Trier there was a chance for you guys to get the game in the end. Had a great run in the fourth quarter, and then in overtime maybe just not gave it away, but not pushing through to the end. So what did you adjust?
I think the biggest thing in this game was execution. So we had a game plan, and you know, our energy level was pretty good throughout the game, which was kind of lacking a little bit at the beginning of the game in Munich, and then lacking it sometimes in Trier. So I felt like we had our energy and effort, you know, at a consistent rate that whole NBC game. But I think one of the biggest things was the execution, just making sure, you know, we took advantage of the switches when we come off a pick and roll and we get a matchup we like, take advantage of the switches, just take care of the ball, just try to execute the things that we want to get done. So that was something we struggled with the last two games. So that was a big focus for us, and I think we took a little step in the right direction.
Definitely looked like you guys had a much higher concentration level on defense, like the whole game, because I think the first half was also, defensively it was fine, but Charles Callison like shut the lights out, mm-hmm. which can happen, but I mean, this is what stood out to me defensively.
Yeah, I think our focus was there, and we were just, you know, a little bit more physical than we'd been, and we were just doing the things that we practiced. So it was good to get that done. Charles Callison made some tough shots. You got to tip your hat to him on some of those shots, but we rebounded, we defended, and we were connected. So that was the biggest thing.
Cool.
Yeah, that's what also what I realized was, like, I know the situation, I don't know if I can call it here, the head tap situation. You guys were really like on point and trusting the process, trusting the play. What in my opinion last season did not work very well. But this year, especially in that game, you followed really the game plan, what coach wanted. And that's a reason why it was successful.
Yeah, that was like one of our things last year. We get a switch, but we couldn't get, you know, into the right places, get the head tap or whatever we were trying to do. So it was good to see that we could, you know, spend a game where we did it, you know, almost perfectly throughout the whole game. So, yeah, it was nice.
But it's also a good sign that the guys are trusting coach in what he is saying. I feel like I said, last year we had also a situation where we can use it or when coach wanted us to do it, but we just didn't do it. And this year it feels like it's clicking more and guys trusting in the stuff the coach tells you. So it's a positive sign.
Yeah, definitely.
Will jemand übersetzen?
Gerne.
Ja. Also es hat sich auf jeden Fall gut angefühlt, in Weißenfels zu gewinnen. Die Physis war auf jeden Fall von Anfang an da. Sie haben den Gameplan konsequent durchgezogen. Ich glaube, man hat aber auch gesehen, was für mich cool war eigentlich, dass der Gameplan wirklich die ersten 30 Minuten volle Kanone durchgezogen wurde, aber erst mit Beginn der zweiten Halbzeit du dann eine Auswirkung auch auf der Anzeigetafel gesehen hast. Aber da einfach dran zu bleiben, war natürlich cool. Und ja, so kann es weitergehen. Also es klickt auf jeden Fall besser. Du hast gerade nochmal gefragt, eben, dass sie eben auch ja diesen Systemen, den Spielzügen, die der Trainer vorgibt, mehr vertrauen, sich da eben auch gut dran halten, dass es auch funktioniert, dass das jeder spürt. So kann es weitergehen. The next round in the cup is going to be Heidelberg at home.
Any thoughts?
Man, I'm excited to have a home game. First of all, this Chemnitz game. But it just feels like, you know, we've been on the road 5 straight games. That's like, I've never had that in my career. I don't think any other team in the league had that this year, Pro A, Pro B, whatever it was. So I'm excited we got the draw for a home game, because playing in our arena with our fans is always an advantage. And then Heidelberg's a good team. But, you know, we definitely feel good, and we feel, you know, excited to have another good matchup and hopefully try to advance.
You can also see it as a revenge game, because last year they beat us at home, mm-hmm. very close. So maybe take that as some fuel for the guys.
For sure. And Ryan Mikesell is one of my best friends. He was probably their best player last year. And so every time we play them, I want to be able to text him after the game and be like, yo, we just whooped y'all. So
he's in London now, right?
Yeah, he's in London. Yeah.
Is he still hurt?
Yes. Yeah, he had a back surgery similar to KT. I kind of connected them so they could the connector. So
so he could. But you've been the connector.
Yeah, I was the connector there. So but yeah, he's getting healthy, and he sent me a video 2 weeks out of surgery where he was lifting some heavy weights and stuff, and so he looks like he's progressing well. So I think he'll be back on the court soon.
How do you know each other?
We grew up playing against each other. He's 2 years older than me, maybe three, but we grew up playing against each other as kids, just living in the same state of Ohio. But we were roommates in college. So when I transferred from Michigan to Dayton, he was already there, and I was his roommate for 2 years, and so we got really close, and we're just similar guys, just love to work hard, live in the gym, and we kind of bonded on that, and just, you know, we're able to build a good friendship. Went to his wedding this summer, and
What I wanted to say. I saw you on your Instagram.
Yeah, it was cool. I met some of the guys from his team from Heidelberg, so it was cool to meet some of those guys and just get to know them a little bit, but yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah, Heidelberg has another... I mean, I don't watch NCAA basketball. I don't have the time for that. But you couldn't get past DJ Horn like 2 years ago, so that's still crazy to me that he plays in the BBL.
Yeah. Had a great run. Came back too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's tough. But it's a great segue to my next question, because you played college ball with one of our world champs, Mo Wagner. Mm-hmm. Do you have any stories for us from this time, or your time in Michigan in general?
Yeah, what I tell everybody is that when I was, I was a freshman and Mo was, I think a junior, I think his third year. And he was doing draft workouts in the summer. So I was staying on campus in the summer, and he was going to work out for the Thunder, then come home for a day, then go work out for the Magic, come home for a day. So he was doing a bunch of workouts. So he let me drive his scooter. He bought like a little motorcycle type scooter, and it'd go pretty fast. So he let me drive that, while he was gone in the summer, and it had a big fat Alba Berlin sticker on it. And so I would always ask him like, yo, what is this? What is Alba Berlin? He's like, bro, the best club in the world, bro. It's the best team in the world. So I never knew, you know, I didn't know anything about European basketball until I came over here, but he was putting me on early and telling me, you know, to watch out for Berlin. And so it was funny when the first time we played him last season, the first time we played Berlin. And I was just like, man, this is the team that Mo's been telling me about for 5, 6, 7 years. So it's crazy.
Crazy how life goes. Beat him twice at home.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hopefully you texted him, or do you text? Do you have each other's numbers?
I hit him on Instagram. Yeah. We don't text much, but I hit him on Instagram. He saw, like I posted a story after we played him of the score of the game, and I was like, I send it to him, and I was like, yeah, how do you feel about this one? So, yeah, but he was telling me early that Franz, he had a little brother who was really, really talented. He was like, he would never truly admit that Franz was going to be better than him, but I could tell he would hint at it like, yeah, I mean, he's my height, but he's a guard, and he can do all these things, so, yeah.
But you didn't play with Franz in Michigan, right?
No, I
we're gone already.
Yeah, I transferred right when he was coming in, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so... You were doing the whole way for me. So next step, you went to Dayton, got a bigger role. Any stories about that?
Yeah.
What was the experience like?
Well, unfortunately, when I was, I guess you can look at it unfortunately or fortunately, but when I transferred in college, the rules at the time were when you transfer, you got to sit out for a year. Oh. So now you can just transfer. As long as you don't transfer three times, you can transfer and play right away the next season. But for me, it was I had to sit out for the whole season. So it was tough for me to watch, you know, the guys play and not really be a part of it in the games. But I was able to use the practice as my games. And so every day I'm in the gym an hour before practice working on my game, an hour after. Just it was a good year for me to just really grow as a player and hone my skills and just try to treat it as like an opportunity to grow rather than, you know, be upset that I was sitting out. So when I transferred there, met a lot of great people and sat out that year, worked hard, and then came back the next year and was part of a really good team who finished like third in the country. And the season got canceled by COVID. We were on like a 20-game win streak and third or second in the country, only lost one game to Kansas, who was the number one team. So we felt really good about our odds going into the NCAA tournament and thought we had a chance to make a nice run. So It was tough for us, you know, having the season canceled like that. But it was still cool to be part of something like a smaller school like Dayton's never really been top 10, top 5. So it was cool to be part of that.
Wollen wir mal eine Zwischenübersetzung machen?
Ja, fang mal an.
Genau, also ich wollte einfach nochmal ein bisschen Ibis Karriereweg nochmal erfragen, weil wir jetzt dann auch auf das Thema College zu sprechen kamen und Ibi 2 Jahre für die Michigan Wolverines gespielt hat, unter anderem zusammen mit Moritz Wagner. Zu dem er jetzt nicht mehr den allerengsten Kontakt hat, aber sich daran erinnern kann, dass er in der Zeit, als Mo ja, sich auf den NBA Draft vorbereitet hat, er sich seinen Roller ausleihen durfte, auf dem ein großer Alba Berlin Sticker war, und er dann mal wissen wollte, was das eigentlich ist. Und Moritz Wagner ihm natürlich gesagt hat, das ist das beste Team der Welt, und er sollte sich definitiv mal europäischen Basketball angucken. Worauf ich dann meinte, ja, schöner Moment, wie sich der Kreis schließt, dann hast du sie letztes Jahr zweimal zu Hause geschlagen, so kann es gehen. Genau, und dann kam sein Wechsel an das Dayton College, wo er leider erstmal das erste Jahr nicht spielen durfte, weil damals die Regeln so waren, dass wenn du dein College wechselst, du dann quasi ein Jahr aussetzen musst, nicht spielen darfst eine Saison. Genau, die Saison drauf eigentlich sehr gut gelaufen ist, sie dann aber vor dem großen NCAA-Turnier leider die Saison canceln mussten aufgrund von Corona, was ärgerlich war, weil ja, sie sich ganz gute Chancen ausgerechnet hat.
20 Spiele in Folge gewonnen, nur einmal gegen Kansas verloren,
genau.
Die beste Mannschaft im Land waren. Ja, ist echt bitter, wenn dann sowas passiert, ja. Und du...
Da gibt es, glaube ich, einige Schicksale, ja. Die dann da so ein bisschen ja, unterbrochen wurden von dem Ganzen. Okay, I just want to go a little bit chronologically through your career. So the next step for you was to play in the G League for the Atlanta Hawks affiliate team. What was the name again?
Do you remember? The College Park Skyhawks.
College Park Skyhawks. What was that like for you? Because a lot of guys, I think, try to go the G League route, end up going to the league or ending up coming to Europe. You ended up coming to Europe. Why?
Yeah, I think... the G League was a unique experience for me. I was lucky enough to go to a training camp with the Hawks and kind of see what that looks like on an NBA level and learn a little bit in those 2-3 weeks that I was there. So it was cool to, it was definitely cool to see that. And then drop down playing the G League is like a whole different world than Europe. It's like you play 50 games in a couple months. You're just kind of game, practice, day off, game. Like a lot of back-to-back, so it's
basically just showcasing yourself.
Exactly, time, right? Yeah.
Is there a lot of change in the team?
A ton of change. You have a player who goes through training camp with you and you know plays the first 3 games, and then the next day you show up to practice and they're gone, and you don't even know. You know, maybe they got a call up, a 10-day contract. Maybe they got released because they wanted to bring somebody else in. So there's so much change in the roster, and they tell you. One of the things they say in the G League is if you like where you're at, wait 10 days. If you don't like where you're at, wait 10 days. So basically, if you're in a good situation, wait 10 days, and it's probably not going to be that good in 10 days. But if you're in a bad situation, just stick it out. And, you know, in 10 days later, you probably might have more playing time because guys are coming up and down from the main team, from the main roster. So they might bring down a young guy who plays on the NBA team. He comes down and he's going to take all the shots when he comes down. So it's if you were a guy who's averaging 20 points, you might only play 5 minutes the next game when they bring somebody down at your position. So it's a mental battle. So the G League is just about, you know, showcasing what you can do, trying to prove that you're a guy who can help win, but also just you know, staying focused and staying locked in on just things you can control.
But it looks like you were pretty happy with your situation. You came back for another season.
Yeah, I got invited to come back again to training camp. And unfortunately, in the summer I was playing in a pro-am, just like some professional players playing in just like a free setting. And I broke my wrist and ankle at the same time on a crazy play. I went up and blocked a shot, hit my arm on the backboard and like did a flip in the air, came down, tried to catch myself, broke the wrist and the ankle. So immediately had surgery on the wrist the next morning. And I didn't know that my ankle was broken. It was like I had the wrist surgery right away. I'm taking pain pills for the wrist. So in my mind, like my ankle's swollen and hurting to walk, but I'm thinking like I probably just like twisted it bad when I landed. Like I didn't really know. So once the wrist wore off, 5 weeks after the wrist surgery, I was back healthy. And I'm like, man, there's no way my ankle's still hurting to walk around. Like I can't like run or jump off of it. So we went back to the doctor to get it checked out. And they're like, oh, you broke it, like broke a piece of bone off. It was like a bad break. So, you know, it was crazy. I wish I could have handled that, you know, at the same time as the wrist, and my recovery would have been quicker. But, you know, I just was so like kind of shocked by it. And so, I came back to Atlanta and did some rehab there. Wasn't able to fully play. I think I played 1 or 2 games maybe that season. And they ended up releasing me after a month or so, just because I couldn't play. So That was a tough time for me, just, you know, trying to figure out what to do without basketball and, you know, how to recover and what my next step would be, because I didn't really want to come back to the G League without being on a training camp deal, just because you get a little bit more playing time and stuff like that when you're on a training camp deal, a better chance of making the roster. So we decided to go with Europe, yeah.
And then next station for you was Sweden. Mm-hmm. How did that happen? Because, you know, when you watch from the outside, you just think G League is so, it seems so close to the NBA, and Sweden is like very far away from the NBA.
Right.
So how does it happen? Is it just, do you just trust your agent or?
Yeah, definitely a lot of trust in the agent. I had good offers to come to Europe fresh out of college. So when we decided to go the G League route, I knew I was turning down some offers, some good offers in Europe. But once I played in the G League and then once I got hurt, I think most of the teams in Europe were like, okay, he's a decent player who played in the G League, but I don't think they respect the G League as much. And then also coming off an injury, a lot of teams thought like a broken wrist and ankle, they're thinking like, is this guy like damaged goods now? Like, is his body still work? You know what I mean? So, yeah, I had to start up in Sweden and just go to a lower level league and just show that, you know, I was capable. And my agent told me like, go there and play like the best player in the league and you'll have a great opportunity the next year after that. So that's what I tried to do.
And what was it like in Sweden?
Cold.
For you?
Cold? Cold.
And how's the basketball? Is the quality like, is it comparable to here or?
I'd say the league is top heavy. I actually loved living in Sweden. It was a cool place, but the league is, a few teams at the top have some really good imports and then some good Swedish players as well. But the bottom level teams are just like, you can beat them by 40 or 50. So it's a top heavy league, but.
And where were you?
We were
pecking order.
Every single year, I think like 4 or 5 years straight, the team, a team called Norrköping, they won the championship and my team, Borås, we got second. So it was like 5 years straight of the same thing in the finals was us versus them. And yeah, so we were one of the better teams. We were winning most of our games, but yeah, it was just like a league where, you know, I was able to learn the European style of the game. So I didn't really understand what are the reads against a hard hedge when you come up with pick and roll, what are the reads against, you know, certain situations. So it was just cool to go there and have the ball in my hands and have an opportunity to make mistakes and also do a lot of good things and learn the European game at the same time.
And now you're here in Freak City.
Yeah.
Because you trusted your agent or because coach called you and said, I want to have you here? Or what was the, how did Bamberg convince you?
Yeah, a combination of both. Like, I heard a lot of great things about Bamberg and just the tradition, like, used to be a EuroLeague club. And so, like, that's enticing for sure. And then just understanding, like, my agent knows the European game so well. He has so many players who have been all over the world. So trusting him and then coach, talking to coach on the phone, he just kind of inspired me to want to come here and play hard and do stuff like that. So it was just a combination of all that. And then my coach, I loved my coach in Sweden. And he told me, like, he thought this would be a great opportunity to play in the German league and, like, to also just go to a club like this. Like, he was telling me just a lot of good things. So it was kind of easy.
And it looks like you did not, you still think it's the right decision, right?
Regret.
Unless you wouldn't be here.
Regret still.
And you don't regret it.
No, not at all, no.
Great. Great to have you here. Wollen wir nochmal übersetzen?
Ja, übersetzt so, oder? Wir machen gleich rein von wegen, er ist in Bamberg und wir spielen am Sonntag unser erstes Heimspiel gegen Chemnitz.
Ja, so schaut's aus.
So schaut's aus. Also, genau. Nächste Station für ihn nach dem College war erstmal die NBA G League. Beim Farmteam nenne ich es jetzt mal der Atlanta Hawks. Ja, er hat einfach nochmal auch erklärt, dass die G League einfach auch kein einfaches Pflaster ist, glaube ich. Viele Veränderungen innerhalb der Mannschaft. Du bist teilweise mit einem Spieler in einer Mannschaft, der dann die ersten drei Spiele spielt, auch eine große Rolle hat. Am nächsten Tag kommst du in die Trainingshalle und der ist weg und keiner weiß, so genau ist er jetzt, hat er irgendwie einen 10-Tages-Vertrag in der NBA bekommen oder ist er nach Europa gegangen oder was ist jetzt eigentlich los? Und das ist relativ regelmäßig so. Ich glaube, das ist aber auch einfach so, wie die G-League funktioniert. Einfach immer wieder sich zeigen und präsentieren, darum geht's. In seinem zweiten Jahr hat er ein bisschen Pech gehabt, hat sich im Sommer ja, ich würde schon sagen, hört sich nach einer schweren Verletzung an.
Sehr schwer, ja.
Also gleichzeitig Handgelenk und das Fußgelenk gebrochen. Passiert auch nicht immer, glaube ich. Das hat ein bisschen gedauert, vor allem, weil er ja zuerst gar nicht gemerkt, also nicht richtig realisiert hatte, dass sein Fußgelenk gebrochen ist oder sein Knöchel. Weswegen das alles so ein bisschen verzögert hat. Er hat also in dieser G-League-Saison nur eine Handvoll Spiele gemacht. Und ist dann, ja, hat sich dann im Anschluss dafür entschieden, nach Europa zu gehen, weil er in der G-League nicht die Art Vertrag bekommen hatte, die er wollte. Hat dann seinem Berater vertraut und ist erstmal nach Schweden gegangen, um auch ein Gefühl zu kriegen für den europäischen Basketball und bereut auch diese Entscheidung nicht. Ich denke, das hat gut funktioniert und jetzt ist er Gott sei Dank bei uns und das schon zum zweiten Mal. Und ich würde sagen, bis jetzt funktioniert das ganz gut.
Behalten wir ihn noch ein bisschen.
Sehr, von mir auch sehr gerne.
Ja, spricht nichts dagegen.
Gucken mal, wie er den Kapitänsjob übernimmt und dann schauen wir mal.
Genau. Bis jetzt macht das ganz gut, glaube ich.
Wer das live sehen möchte, wie E.B. Watson unsere Mannschaft anführt, der kann gerne am Sonntag, den 26.10. in die Brose Arena kommen, um 15 Uhr ist Tip-Off. Diese Partie wird sehr, sehr spannend, denke ich. Wir sind jetzt schon bei über 4.600 Zuschauern, steuern schnurstracks auf die 5.000 zu. Also sollte jeder, der noch Lust hat, die, wie ich finde, geile Stimmung aktuell mitzunehmen, sich unbedingt noch ein Ticket kaufen.
Familienspieltag.
Genau.
Ja,
mit neuem
und
Trailer.
Ja, den haben wir vorhin gerade mal schon
dürfen. Trailer. We saw the new season trailer already.
Oh yeah. It's
fire. You're gonna love it.
Nice. It's fire. Nice.
Okay. I'm excited.
Goosebumps.
Dann hoffen wir, dass wir euch alle sehen. Sonntag gegen Chemnitz, 15 Uhr. Und dann sage ich danke, Carsten.
Sehr gerne.
Danke, David.
Danke, Sven.
Thank you, Ibi. Thank you very much, Ibi.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It was nice to be here.
We're going to do it again at some point.
We'll do it again. Let's do it.
Let's go.
Pack the arena out Sunday and Brose Arena, man. Let's get it lit.
Yeah.
Bis Sonntag.
Bis Sonntag.
Macht's gut.